the others. I certainly want to welcome everybody here. What a joy it is to be together. And I'd like to go around and say kind of hi to everybody, because it's just encouraging by your presence and your being here. I just was mentioning to Angie, it's great having Ben and Angie up here on the front. And we got Nick and Christina McSwain. And they're Christians. They live down in Fife. And whether you're visiting here or members here, what a joy to be together this morning. Next Sunday, I'll be in Sumner preaching AM/PM. Jeff Clark, of course, had cancer surgery and then abdominal surgery and plastic surgery, and he's really having a tough time of it. And so Bill Downey will be covering for me here. And by way of introduction to this lesson, this one was actually requested some time ago because of the book series and then the movie that has come out called Left Behind. And really it has to do with a principle called the rapture. Maybe some of you have seen it. Debbie McVicker saw it and said in her mind, the Christians were represented as dorky. Well, the first gal that I saw that came up really kind of just runs up to somebody and starts quoting Matthew chapter 24 to be wars and rumors of wars. But outside of that, they just seem like regular people. I typify it as a religious drama. And it's got two scriptures in it, one at the beginning, one at the end. So, which is fine, except that the question is going to be, is the principle that movie is representing real? And as we go along, if you have the flyer for this morning and want to take notes, there's room enough on the little back of the flyer to do that. If you're tired, it helped for me anyhow. It takes notes because I can sometimes stay awake if I'm writing something. So the flyers are available in the back corner if you like. One of the things that caught my attention in the movie, and I'm just going to have a thought or two from the movie, then move into the doctrine itself. I liked this graphic here. The idea is that you're kind of swept up, raptured up, taken up into paradise. And so in this one here, it shows it as the person's clothes is left behind, their hat and shoes and whatnot. And so the end is near, they cross it out. And then it said, the end is here. Well, it's a cute graphic, but it's impossible. At least if the owner of the clothes is also the author of the sign. You didn't have time to say, and by the way, zoop, somehow I'm going to write it down there. In this movie, Left Behind, and the book series, they've got a teaching that's really not biblical. It's fascinating, but it's not biblical. And that is, Christians will be lifted up into the air prior to 7 years tribulation on earth. And that term is deemed the rapture. It doesn't actually occur anywhere in the Bible. But most frequently, people will turn to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to do that this morning. We'll look at Matthew chapter 24, and talks about the end times. But the question is going to be, is the idea of the rapture so? And we're going to look at some of those principles. Now, this next, I've got a graphic coming up here. It's going to be detailed. Of all the things on there, I just want you to look at one part in case you say, whoa, way too many. If this is a timeline, and here we're just started with Jesus' birth, and then if you have the cross over there a little bit further to the right. Now, the idea from denominationalism is that the kingdom, you know, John the Baptist said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The fact is, Jesus also preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he taught the apostles to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But from their standpoint, the kingdom was not established, and that it, since the Jews rejected Jesus, it was postponed. Well, they wouldn't say it this way, but my contention would be, wait a minute.
if the Jews outsmarted God and Jesus was trying to set up a kingdom and couldn't do it, Jesus failed. But God is one that knows all things. And so as I look at that, that's not actually true, but it's there. That is the people that would hold the position of a rapture, and it's very popular in the United States, and a complicated theory. For instance, if there's the cross of Christ, well, then they'd say, since the kingdom wasn't set up, it was kind of a stopgap. We're going to put the church in there. And then one of these days, there's going to be a rapture. Now, out of this whole thing, that's the only thing I want you to really see and think about, because it'll give you a sense of where kind of in a timeline this idea is. And then it said, so here would be saints that are taken away just before terrible things happen on earth. You get to be up in paradise for 7 years, and then you return. In the meantime, there's tribulation. Terrible, terrible things going on earth. At the end of that time, you don't have to memorize this. You say it's getting way too complicated. All I want you to know is this is part of the theory. It is promoted and a lot of the emphasis put on it in various places that Battle of Armageddon, they would think the kingdom's established then, Satan bound for 1,000 years at that point. Then Christ reigns on earth in Jerusalem, and there's peace for 1,000 years, and then there's a judgment on the wicked and Satan, and there's heaven and there's hell. They say, whew, boy, that's a lot of stuff. We're not preaching on all of that. What's the only thing I want you to remember? Rapture right down here. That's what we're going to talk about. So you just see, that's kind of where it fits into thinking. But you don't have to write all that down, memorize it. It's really quite complicated. But if you remember the rapture, you're already doing fine and just what we want you to do. Well, there's some problems. And if you're going to take notes, this is what I tell you to take notes on. There's 10 things we're going to look at, just kind of briefly, and move right along. And that as the idea of the rapture is thrilling, but one of the challenges is it misidentifies the people. In the movie and frequently when you talk to people, they'll want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. And, you know, when you see this happen and that happen, well, the problem with people's attitude along that line, Matthew 24 and verse 3, as He, Jesus, was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be. And Jesus answered and said to them, this graphic just gives a portrayal. If this would be Jerusalem and here's the Eastern Wall, you got the Kidron Ravine and you can go across it in a couple of places. It just takes you 30 minutes to get up here. Well, Jesus is up here. He had been in here in the temple area, and the disciples were showing him the building, and he said, I tell you, not one stone will be left on the other. And so they say, tell us when this is going to happen. When are these stones going to be thrown down? Now, what I want you to do for a little bit right here, just follow the pronouns. What he's talking to is the disciples, the apostles at that time. That's why I put that in red with a white highlight around it. Tell us when these things will be. And he said to them. Well, that's the audience that he's addressing. So if you're saying it's to people 2,000 years down line, you're not talking to who Jesus is talking to. It misidentifies the time. That is, these tribulation events described in Matthew 24 were not designed to be 2,000-3,000 years down line. It was designed to be just a few years down line. In fact, since I have it up there, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 and down in verse 34. After he comes down to the end of this section, he wants to give them a time marker. And he says, you know, after the wars and rumors of wars and will arise in various places and famines and earthquakes and nation against nation, he comes all the way down and we'll look at a lot of these verses. And he says, truly, verse 34, I say to you,
this generation will not pass away till all these things take place. He said, I don't want to tell you. I'm not talking about somebody 2,000 years in the future. And we've done it before here. I just say, you know, if you're having a few financial problems, don't worry about it. It's going to get much better. Incomes are going to double. And I'll be about 3,000 years from now. And you say, oh, good for them, but it's not going to help me a lot if it's that far in the future. And so there's a time marker. He said, I say to you, this generation, the people that he's talking to right at that time, Matthew 24 and in verse 4. And Jesus said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, you apostles, you early Christians. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, seeing that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that's not the end. They had the Greeks fighting the Persians, and the Jews fighting the Syrians, and the Egyptians fighting the Babylonians, and Romans fighting everybody. And so we say, man, there's wars all over the place. There's battles in Africa. You got Russia, at least to the ceasefire. I don't know if it's holding. As individuals are saying, well, man, here's our land, and you got battles there, and Muslim battles in the Philippines, and there's battles all over. There's always been battles all over. And he said, you're going to hear of it. We hear of it quite easily because we have internet and live TV. He says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and various places will be famines and earthquakes. We get them on TV. Whoa, the building here fell down, and these people are having problems over there. But they're merely the beginning of pains. And he says, then they will deliver you to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated of all nations on account of my name. Let me see if I can get this down another inch. Maybe yes, maybe no. All right. And so he said, as far as the tribulation, they said, when's this thing going to be? He said, you guys are going to be in it. You apostles, that's going to be part of your experience. And sure enough, as the Apostle Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 26, he said, I was beaten 5 times, shipwrecked 3 times, hunger and thirst and dangers from robbers and dangers from my countrymen. That wasn't something that was going to be 2,000 years in advance. He said, you're going to go through it your own selves. So it's the wrong people, the rapture theory. It's the wrong time. There's another thing I'd like us to see. It misidentifies the signs. Matthew 24 and in verse 10. At that time, many will fall away and deliver up one another and hate one another. Paul talks to Titus. He said, that's the way we were. We once lived being hated and hating one another. I don't know, you know, what your life was like as a non-Christian. But I tell people, I wasn't a nice kid. If I was my own son, I'd have killed him. that's how you live outside of Christ. Matthew 24 and verse 11. And many false prophets will arise and mislead many. And because of lawlessness is increased, people's love will grow cold. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 1. He said, there must be false prophets among you. 1 John 2:18. He said, there may many antichrists have arisen. That was going on during the lives of the apostles. And it didn't stop there. Think about Harold Camping, who, you know, most recently said, you know, we're world's going to end, was it 2011? And somehow we made it past 2011. And they said, wow, year 2000, everything's going to end. And we made it past the year 2000. He said, wow, 1975 is going to end. And we made it through that. And a guy named Miller, 1844, said, wow, the earth's going to end. I mean, that's in God's domain. And people keep setting those things, and it doesn't work very well. I think the most beneficial thing out of it is the humor factor from my standpoint. Remember the Mayan calendar? Do you realize the Mayan calendar has stopped?
Yeah. So whatever. I mean, our calendar stopped. They kind of stop at December 31st, and then you get on to January. And then there's an element in verse 14, this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, and then the end shall come. People say, aha, there it is. That's the principle showing we've got to get ready because the rapture is going to happen any day. Because look how we can do with our internet, radio, TV, preach all over the world, except that, Colossians 1:23, Paul, in one of the prison epistles in the late 60s, says the gospel was proclaimed in all creation. And so it's not like, in fact, Glenda got a call from her elder brother who, I don't know where he goes to church, I think he's back east somewhere, and he was telling her, man, the rapture's right around the corner. I said, really? You don't get that out of Matthew chapter 24. He was talking to the apostles about their lives. They misidentify the people, the times, and the signs. They misidentify the abomination of desolation. Matthew 24, 15. When you, remember who that is? There's the apostles. They're all sitting up there on the Mount of Olives, just across the ravine from Jerusalem. When you see the abomination of desolation was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing there. He said, you guys are going to be alive. You guys are going to see that. Now Luke, I've not done this here, but Luke gives a parallel. In fact, Mark does the same thing. But Luke 21:20 says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, recognize her desolation is at hand. So here's the Romans that were abominable. They had all their idolatrous stuff. And when they sweep through, they made it desolate. And so that literally happened. And he said, you apostles are going to see that. That's going to be part of your life. It's not some kind of coalition off in the future with a one world government, this and that. That happened. He's talking to them, and the pronouns demonstrate that all the way through. The Roman army destroyed Jerusalem, AD 70. Vespasian was the emperor, and Titus was his son and general. They have another problem, and that is what actions to take. What you're looking at is a representation of the flat-top buildings that are also used for living space in semi-arid countries. Matthew chapter 24 and down in verse 17, Jesus said, now he's just saying you're going to hear the wars and rumors of wars, there are going to be false prophets and all these things, but that's not the end. He said, let him who is on the housetop not go down and get the things out that are in his house. And so we hear of it sometimes that houses are on fire, everybody got out safe, but they had the pictures, and they run back in for the pictures and perish in the flames. Pictures are considered by many to be the most valuable thing a family has. It has all the memories and all those great things. Except that there's something more important than pictures. And that's you, the family members of which the pictures represent. And so you say, boy, if the house is falling down, get out of the house. Get everybody out there. If the Roman armies are surrounding, he said, get out of town. Yeah, but I got some stuff in the bottom of this trunk. Get out of there. And 24:18, and let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. Well, it's just a half a mile down the road, but I got my coat and it's going to be cold. He said, get out of town. Verse 19, woe to those who are with child, who nurse babes in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. My point would be that the rapture proponents say we're snatched away, not running away. I mean, you're sucked out of your clothes. I mean, the Bible doesn't say that, but it's interesting. And I have a graphic on that just because it's cute the way, you know, photographers have set things up. He said, the problem isn't that you're going to be vacuumed out of your clothes. He said, you're going to be surrounded by armies and get out of Dodge. These were just a couple of the pictures I thought was cute. Somebody had some, you know, like their hoodie and pants, and they're reading the newspaper. Zoop, man, they got sucked out. Here was a guy walking his dog, and whoop, man, he got pulled out of his clothes. The Bible says, don't hang on your clothes, but if you're on the housetop, don't go down to get those things. Here was an interesting one. Here's a guy surrounded by all his family's clothes. Here's the little kids and maybe mom and a teenager. And this little, you know, Todd has the little PJs there. What's Dad got? Well, Dad's got the TV clicker. Whoa, man, everybody's gone. What the? And here's maybe a young person crossing the street. And here's a businessman. He stopped in the park and got sucked right out of his clothes. Well, those are cute. Those are interesting. The problem is, I wouldn't know where I'd go in the Bible to find that, because so far Matthew 24 does not represent that. The problem with the rapture theory, number six, is that with the rapture, remember that kind of complicated diagram I said, I only want you to remember one part. Well, the idea of the rapture, in theory, was to get believing Christians off earth for 7 years while terrible things are happening on earth. Well, the problem is, let's look what the Bible has to say. Matthew 24:21. For then, so we looked at, here's wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines, and the end is not yet, and there'll be false prophets, and people's love will grow cold, but he who perseveres to the end will be saved. Well, let's find out what this says about believers, about the faithful ones. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not has occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. Now the picture left behind and various ones, this is their kind of graphic. You know, airplanes are crashing, falling into the street, engines are off and fires all over the place, and cars are crashing into trucks and school buses are going off the road and such as this. They said, boy, so that's why I use that graphic. That's their sense of it. Verse 22 said, and unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. He said, I want to tell you, it's on behalf of the believers why God didn't let that tribulation go on and on. It's not because the believers are up in paradise looking down and watching all the catastrophe. That the believers there are in Palestine. And the Christians shouldn't face the great tribulation in rapture theory. But it is right here in Matthew 24:21 said there's a great tribulation, and 22 said it's for the sake of the elect that it was shortened in duration. Doesn't fit a rapture theory. I might also say, even among the people that hold a rapture, there's different degrees. Some say, well, that's right, because the Christians are snatched away in the middle of the rapture. Some say, oh, no, you guys don't have it wrong. We believe in a rapture, but we are post-tribulation rapturists. And so there's a lot of controversy. But pre-tribulation rapturists is probably the most widely held. They misunderstand symbolic language. Matthew 24:29, and immediately after the tribulation of those days. What's that? Well, here is Jerusalem. It falls. The temple's destroyed. 250,000 people are dead. It is said when the Romans came into the city that the bodies were so thickly strewn about, there was not a place for a horse to put down his hoof that he didn't step on somebody. And so Rome attacked. And then down in verse 29, and then he says, and here's kind of the apocalyptic language, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. Well, we could, if we're going to read each one of these, and it's impressive to do, and it's enriching, but that's the language of the Bible when a nation is overtaken, falls, conquered by somebody else. When Egypt falls, and Ezekiel comments about this in Ezekiel 32:7-8, it says the sun and the moon and the stars are darkened. Isaiah 34:3 talks about Edom's fall, how the stars wear away. They just got old, presumably quit shining. And Babylonia's fall, Isaiah 13:1 identifies it's Babylon we're talking about. And verse 10 says the constellations will not flash your light, sun and moon grow dark. But does that happen in a literal sense? That half the sunlight stops and the stars, you know, the great constellations, Pleiades and Orion, come crashing down onto the earth. No, we wouldn't have an earth if that was happening in a literal sense. But that's the language that was used and understood. We use similar language, kind of colloquial. If I just said things like, parents tell the kids, if I told you once, I told you a million times. Did you really tell them a million times? If they said, you didn't really tell me a million times. It was only 700,000. Why? You didn't take the kid, whack, 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 whack. Or if you're playing racquetball with Travis, and man, I'm going to kill you. Well, he probably doesn't mean he's going to choke the life out of you, but he's going to beat you by an overwhelming score. And so in verse 29 in the last part, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That is exactly the language that is used regarding Babylon as it fell in Isaiah 13:1 that I identified. That's where you know they're talking about Babylon. Verse 13 said, the heaven shall tremble, and the earth is shaken out of its place. What would happen if somebody detonated a nuclear device such as it killed every living thing in North America? Would that have any impact on world economy? Would that have any impact? Oh, man, everything goes crazy there. Finances go. We are such now a global, you know, if America catches a cold, China sneezes, you know, and here's all the interactive global economies. And if the major economy, kind of dynamo, why, if we're obliterated, everything goes crazy. The governments that have said, now we're ready to take over the world, that kind of thing happens. Matthew chapter 24, in Rome's attack, brought about the collapse of Judaism, Jerusalem, both religiously, politically. It was over in AD 70. The war began, and the Jews thought, maybe we can win it, AD 66. In 4 years, it was over. They misunderstand symbolic language and misinterpret the consequence. Here's an interesting passage in Matthew 24:31. And he will send, Jesus is still talking to the disciples on Mount Olivet, right? It's all part of the conversation. And he will send forth his angel, angelos, or in the plural it's angeloi, the messengers. And they can be divine, or Strong's lexicon says, by implication, a pastor or pastors. Doesn't have to be winged creatures. Send forth his angels or messengers with a great trumpet. That's interesting from the standpoint in Isaiah 27:12 and following. Says, a trumpet will be blown, and those that are in Assyria and Babylonia will come and say, come worship the Lord. Trumpet's what you use to call people. Sometimes in the early part of this country, they'd use a bell, you know, come together. And God is saying, I'm going to draw people together, and they will gather his elect. Here's the believers from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. And Mark is one of them that comments on this, Mark 13:27, and he will gather his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth. Doesn't mean they're floating up in the atmosphere. We just say, oh man, my kids are scattered to the four winds. I mean, they're just all over the place. And this is what God is saying. I am going to gather my people. Here's the universal call of the gospel in Luke 13:29. And they will come from the east and west and north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. He's just saying, you're going to have this disaster in Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands are going to be killed. The temple will be destroyed. Sacrifices will be stopped. Your whole political structure is gone. But it's not over. Because I've got believers out there, and I'm going to call them together. And as a matter of fact, it's going to be easier to reach people once that temple structure and the Jewish economy is down, because you won't have so much opposition. Because I am going to reach my people. As you think about that, Matthew 24 and verse 40, there shall be two men in the field, and one will be taken and one left. Ah, that kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? Now you're snatched away. Well, we've just been talking about, here's what's happening with Rome conquering Jerusalem and Palestine. Two women will be at the grinding mill. One will be taken, one left. And therefore, be on the alert, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Well, the first part here is, the idea is simply, some people aren't going to change their lifestyle at all. When Mount St. Helens blew, there was a guy up there by Spirit Lake. Anybody remember that guy's name? Harry Truman? And he said, they said, everybody get off the mountain. It's going to blow. He said, I'm not getting off the mountain. Well, he left, but not under his own power. And I don't know how deep the debris, and 1,500 degrees, where people would be in cars and say, I want to see what this is like. Oh, my goodness. And so some people didn't survive it. The ones that got out of that, they were left. They did. And so some people just would not respond to the admonition about Jesus and his judgment on Jerusalem. Matthew 24 isn't a rapture. That's what this graphic would show. Like, here's a guy in the field, and he's, whatever he got here, kumquats or pumpkins or something, and his buddy, woo, he's going up, and here's Dad, the kids, and Mom in the car. Mom's taken off, and the car's now driverless. And oh, wait a minute. Matthew 24 isn't about the rapture at all, but people going on with their daily life. And because of the, when you read John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, the wicked and the righteous rise together. Turn over there with me. It's Jesus himself talking in this place also. In John 5:28, he said, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth, those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. It's not like all the righteous people are snatched away into paradise and then the wicked got to hang out here for another 7 years. So that idea of the rapture is not found in Matthew chapter 24. Yeah, but what about when you come on down here to the predictors of the end times? Yeah, it's any day now, right around the corner. Well, that's false. We find in Matthew 24:42, Jesus said, therefore, now we're toward the end of the chapter, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Verse 43. If the head of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he'd have been on the alert. Last week we had our, remember, you know, our community mailbox, ours and the people down the street, pried open by crooks. Well, if I had known that was crooks, I'd have done something about it. Even if you called 911 or chase them off or whatever you did. Unfortunately, I knew somebody was out there, but I thought just loading a pickup truck, and I was awake, and I didn't even do anything. I didn't know they were crooks. Well, that's how crooks work. If everybody says, hey, by the way, I'm coming to your house on Monday evening about 9 p.m., well, you've got a plan. Whatever your plan is for that, I'm not going to be there. The police will, you know, or I'm going to invite three of the biggest guys in this congregation over for dinner at that time. You're going to have some kind of plan. But Jesus says, it's not going to be that way. You're not going to be able to get out your calendar and start marking the dates. And that's a problem with them. So, Paul, where are you going with this lesson? Well, where I'm going is what the Bible does say. I believe in a resurrection. And this is my final scripture. 1 Thessalonians 16 and 17, which rapturous use in order to say this is the rapture. No, this is just the resurrection. We're alive, the Lord returns, and John 5, the tombs are open. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the dead in Christ rise first. Then we who are alive, that is, just because somebody's died in Christ doesn't mean they have to stay behind. That they rise and we're caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't have to die, my soul separated from my body, then come back down to earth, get resurrected, get up into paradise for 7 years, come back down to earth, be on earth for 1,000 years, then at least the wicked go through the judgment. I believe they all go through the judgment. There's one judgment. And then go back to paradise again. It's not a roller coaster. But God has saved the best for last. We get to go home. We get to be with Him. And so the idea of a rapture is exciting to people, particularly when people blend that with, and it's going to be any day now, you watch out, and because look at the latest problem. And they'll look at things like wars and earthquakes and the European Union. Because what they're thinking about is somehow or another we've got to get Rome reestablished and blah. That's not going to happen. It was already fulfilled. And rather than be anxious about it, he said, comfort one another with these words. Getting to go home. And getting to go home with the Christians, with those you love, that you cherish, that you would die for. You'll go through some tribulation, but be faithful to the end. God said, I'll give you a crown of life. If you're here this morning, you haven't been baptized, you want that crown of life. You want to be with all the saved. You want to be in the arms of the Savior. Won't you let us know by coming forward, expressing that desire to be baptized into Christ, or prayers for you, however we can help, as Jim Hester lead our minds.